Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. I hope you are as excited as I am about the return of the Lord to end the wickedness and vileness that has permeated this earth caused by corrupt, godless men and women like the current administration and the sickly, woke Democratic regime here in America, and all the atheistic globalist regimes that have taken the helm of many nations and are steering the course of this world into a violent conflict with God Almighty. The Christian's hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish his earthly kingdom, while our unyielding faith is in the work of Jesus on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the grave when he first came to the earth to bring salvation to whomsoever believes. So, a quick overview of the Olivet Discourse. It is a sermon that Jesus preached to his disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of his earthly ministry. This discourse was preached to put all of Jesus' disciples for the last 2,000 years during the dispensation of grace on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready and faithful upon his return. He admonishes that believers need to be prepared and alert for his return through fervent prayer and obedience. He cautions that some believers will be careless in their walk with him. There are 7 parables in this discourse by Jesus, which I identify and explain. Different aspects of this discourse address specific events, targeting 3 specific groups. Hence, I subtitled this sermon, "The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God." But only believers can discern these events and parables and witness to the world the second advent of Christ. The unconverted Jews and the unregenerate Gentiles have no clue what will soon befall them.
The epistles by the disciples are just an endorsement of the words of Christ with further elaboration by the Holy Spirit. The exhortations to the 7 churches of Asia Minor in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are a perfect example of what the Lord thinks is acceptable behavior and what isn't. The Lord, through the Apostle John, was admonishing 5 of the 7 churches to amend their ways or face judgment. Reward was offered to those who overcame the obstacles to serve Christ acceptably. Jesus Christ does not expect performance for those who want to inherit the kingdom.
It said Jesus Christ does expect perfection for those who want to inherit the kingdom. Perfection comes at the cost of suffering through obedience. We will see how this last parable in Matthew 24 is expanded further in the next 2 parables that follow in Matthew 25. Jesus said in Colossians, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That was found in Mark chapter 7. Paul said, "And whosoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." James said, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." So the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." What is implied when Jesus says in this parable, the parable we've been reading in the Olivet Discourse, "Appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth of the unfaithful servant, the evil servant, the wicked servant." Just prior to the Olivet Discourse, Jesus rebukes the scribes and Pharisees, calling them a bunch of hypocrites. Okay, remember, he's in Jerusalem. And he kicked out the money changers out of the temple. And then he's calling the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, a bunch of hypocrites. And he says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." So instead of bringing men into the kingdom of heaven, bringing men in toward to holiness and righteousness, they are shutting them up. "For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Pretty good religious leaders. I wonder if this is what's going on in the Bible college. I wonder if this is what's going on in the seminaries. Hell is that portion delegated to the hypocrites along with the evil servant. Hell. Now you know why all the believers want to take hell out of the Bible. Hell is that portion delegated to the hypocrites along with the evil servant, where the weeping and gnashing of teeth occur. The weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's another expression that describes hell? What's another expression that describes hell? Anybody remember? Where the worm dieth not? Told you that researchers, oceanographers, I think that's what they're called, the guys who study the oceans, but they've studied the depth, bottom of the ocean. They found these heat vents where great temperatures, high temperatures of water and steam coming out from the floor bed of some areas in the ocean, and they find worms. They find worms that can handle those high temperatures, that they can live near those temperatures. And so there's going to be worms in hell. That don't sound fun, does it? How many hate worms more than they hate snakes? How many like to put worms on their fishing, on their fish hook? Okay, there's just a few of you. most people don't want to put worms on their fish hook and touch those things. But you know, worms, where the worm dieth not. And so you have that wailing and gnashing of teeth. So cross-examine. All right. We last bullet point on page 17. We're going to look at Matthew 17. Turn your Bible, not Matthew 13. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 13, because we're going to look at some parables in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is also a chapter in Matthew that deals with a lot of parables. A lot of parables. And remember, when the Lord is talking about the kingdom, he uses parables. When he's talking about eternal life, it's just in simple, plain language. Cross-examine the dragnet parable in Matthew 13. You have it in your notes, but we also can see it there in Matthew 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. All right, that's what we were reading there in Matthew 24. The faithful, wise servant versus the evil, unfaithful servant. To sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so you have this event taking place here. This is dealing with the kingdom. Okay, so this is dealing with believers. Never will the lost have an opportunity to go into the kingdom, except those who are still living at the time of Armageddon in the nations. They are the only people who will have an opportunity to go into the kingdom. But they will not go in with glorified bodies. They will go in with bodies that are still able to die. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. So it's like a fishing story here. Casting the bad fish from the good fish among believers, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You have the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13, verse 24. We see that Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. Notice the Lord uses common everyday practices, either farming or fishing. That was very common for the Israelites. It's very common for most people, most nations around the world. We who live in the city, we know what neither how to do either. We don't like fishing and we don't like gardening. Not all of you, but me. I am neither a fisherman nor a farmer. And my thumb is black, not green. I kill everything I plant. Kim is getting much better. She's doing a great job of taking care of plants and growing things and herbs. And so she's teaching me. So the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now he's saying, well, you know, this is talking about lost and saved. No, this is talking about the heart. And the heart is only tilled for planting by the Lord when you get saved. It's what you put in your heart after you get saved. This is the planting that goes on in the heart. The lost person is like, I've used this analogy before, like the prairie. In the Midwest had the beautiful prairie, but for them to farm and till it, they had to get a plow strong enough to break the ground and turn up the ground so that they could plant on the prairie. It was fertile ground underneath, but they had to break up the clods, strong clods of dirt on the surface. Well, this is a tilled field. These are dealing with believers, people who came to know Christ. Now, but while men slept, men slept, they weren't aware, they weren't watching. What did Jesus tell the disciples when they fell asleep in the garden? To keep praying so that they're not tempted. Spiritual, dealing with spiritual matters. And so while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Tares are just weeds. Just an Old Testament term, tares, it is weeds. So when you plant field, those of you who plant and grow gardens, you understand how the weeds crop up. And you're always trying to pull the weeds out. And you got to be careful when you pull the weeds out that you don't pull the good seed and the good crops out. And you got to do it sort of after you water the ground, or the ground has been wet from the rain. And it's easier to pull the wheat, the tares up or the weeds up. When the ground is dry, you try to pull up the weeds. What happens sometimes? The weed breaks at the root there, or right at the beginning of the surface of the dirt. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, that who are the servants of the householder, the angels, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Remember the harvest. We dealt with the harvest. There's a key word, the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. The disciples asked Jesus, a little bit after the other parables he quoted, they said, Jesus, please tell us what this parable of the tares means. So in verse 37, he begins to explain. He said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay? He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Okay? We need to make sure in our lives that we don't give place to the devil. Don't allow the devil to use us. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Okay, that's dealing with the kingdom age. That's dealing with the harvest, as I talked about, the rapture. And you have pre-trib rapture, which is a first fruit harvest. And then there is the harvest in Revelation chapter 14 that we looked at. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. You can't get away from the fact that this is dealing with believers will go to hell. Wicked, unfaithful believers. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's talking to every one of us in this room. We got to have the ears to hear it. There's many a church that don't have the ears to hear it because their pastor doesn't have the ears to hear it. So now let's look at this last bullet point. Most importantly, compare Luke's account of Jesus' teaching on this topic of the evil servant. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this many years ago is what convinced Connie to accept this teaching of the kingdom and understand what Pastor Joey Foss preaches from his pulpit and what he wrote in his book. Verse 42. This is the exact parallel to what we read in Matthew 24 at the beginning of our lesson today. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? What does that mean, portion of meat in due season? That means the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that portion of meat in due season, that's talking about there's going to be the whole kingdom age is a marriage supper of the Lamb. Because the actual marriage doesn't take place. See, we have a banquet after the marriage, right? We have the marriage, the wedding ceremony first, right, Ross and Lauren? Marriage ceremony first, and then the banquet. That's the American way. But they have the banquet first, and then the wedding. And so in the eternal age, will be the bride will come to the groom, in a sense, which is the New Jerusalem. But the kingdom age is the banquet, that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so, give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Again, that's why we need to be understanding of our constitutional principles. We got to understand what government is all about in the scriptures, because you're going to govern. Amen? You're going to have to understand how to govern for the Lord. What is the proper way to govern? But and if. Wait a minute, didn't we just read that before? Oh, Lord uses that phrase over again. Catch your attention. But and if that servant, that same individual who I said was faithful, is not faithful. If that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men's servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers or the hypocrites.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. No.